welcome back to the show. Let's talk to our dear friend, Mr. Clem Chambers. Clem, very good morning to you.
Good morning.
How the devil are you, sir?
Very good, very good. Spring is here, or rather, it feels like summer, actually.
Well, it's just the weather's been stunning, hasn't it? You're calling in from overseas. Let's talk bubble. FTSE new closing high on Friday. The tape's very strong at the moment, isn't it?
Well, it went exponential at the end of close on Friday, which was, you know, very impressive. So I don't think anyone should fight this market on the short side. It's going to go up, even though it's, very, very toppy, and I think it's going to get a crash. If it goes into bubble mode, then you've really got to be very careful if you're a bear. You can really lose your face.
Yeah. Well, just moving on, yeah, we've got the UK general election in sort of circa 23 days. There's a very interesting piece that I read in the weekend press that basically said a report from CMC Markets found that stock markets had plunged by an average of 13% a month after hung parliaments were returned in countries including UK, Canada and Greece. Basically, the author said this suggests that should the UK election end in an indecisive result and wrangling over a coalition government drags, the FTSE and sterling could become increasingly vulnerable through May. That would tie in nicely, wouldn't it, with the old adage, sell in May and
go away. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a bear, so I'm almost praying for sell in May, but... you know, the market isn't agreeing with me. And I take the line that if I disagree with the market, and the market keeps proving me wrong, then obviously I'm wrong. So, you know, if we're not going to correct with prices so high, then you're in that bubble territory. And for me, it's a question of finding some narrow sector that is particularly affected, which will deliver some short-term trading opportunities. What I see, if you're outside of the general flow in the market, nobody wants to touch you. So if you look at BG and Shell, you know, nobody wants to touch that opportunity, even though particularly BG is like £2 lower than its takeover price. Nobody wants to touch that because these prices are being chased as a general indices dynamic rather than anything in particular.
Right. Now, turning on to currencies, this dollar strength situation, we've had a number of people come on and suggest that the dollar move is over. What are your thoughts on that at this phase?
Well, I'm more interested in the weakness in the pound. I mean, the pound really is weak. I mean, I like that. I mean, that plays to my American business. But, you know, the pound is really weak. What about that then? I mean, that's more interesting to me. Could that drop significantly against the dollar? I mean, the euro obviously is going to remain to be weak. You can just see that anywhere you look that euro is going down. So if everyone's going down, the dollar's going up. I mean, you don't have to go down if everyone else goes down around you.
Yeah.
I mean, people look at things like gold and say gold's gone up, and you actually gold doesn't go up, dollar goes down. You know, what is the currency, the unit of measure that doesn't change? Well, it tends to be the dollar. So the dollar's got interest rates allegedly rising very shortly. That would push the dollar up. With everybody trying to push their currencies down, even if the dollar didn't go up, it would go up in relation. So the dollar's still going to be a one-way push. I do think that the authorities in America will try to talk down the dollar at every turn because they don't want a too strong dollar. But if they want to avoid there being inflation in America through the results of QE, then they have to have interest rates go up. And that, of course, will push up the dollar, whether they like it or not. But they will try to talk it down.
Mm. Okay, so in terms of the Great British Pound, one fund manager suggested that the sterling against the US dollar could get as low as 125 on a hung parliament. Any thoughts on that?
I didn't want to say that while I was talking, but it's an itch that I want to scratch.
Wow. Okay. So let's turn our attention now to the interest rate cycle in the US. Obviously, all eyes are on the Federal Reserve, will they or won't they, in terms of June or summer or indeed the autumn. Have you got any sort of latest thoughts on that?
Well, they keep saying they're going to change it, don't they? They keep saying they're going to put it up, and they don't tend to say one thing and do another. I mean, there's a lot of people that wish it's not going to happen. There's a lot of people who are trend followers who are following the long-term trend of interest rates not going up that wouldn't like to see it happen. But they keep saying it's going to happen. So what exactly would it mean if it didn't? I mean, that would really be bad for the whole idea of them warning the market in advance, being a good guide to what's happening in the medium term, wouldn't it? So it's going up, but from nothing to a little more than nothing, I don't think that's a big deal.
But you don't think it's a big deal because, you know, I'm just looking at my notes. Obviously, at the moment, the latest data, there's been a clutch of underwhelming economic data and obviously a really disappointing US job data number. And there's suggestions that the futures market are now implying the Fed will raise rates only once this year, starting in autumn, not June. And I guess the key to all of this is, you know, the Federal Reserve lifting benchmark rates without upsetting the bond markets.
Well, I mean, that's going to happen, isn't it? It's got to happen. I mean, it's already started. Junk bonds are under a great deal of pressure. I mean, if you read the right literature, you'll see lots of people warning about junk bonds. Well,
right.
Junk bonds, the tail end of that whole market, that's the first people to go is the junk bonds. And they're already starting to feel that. Well, it's on the cusp anyway. So, you know, that's going to happen. It has to happen. Can't have zero interest rates forever.
Right. So finally, to wrap up, OK, obviously there's fundamental issues, there's geopolitical issues, et cetera, et cetera. In terms of the art of investing, is there anything that you're looking at specifically at the moment, whether that's a technical situation or a fundamental situation, or are you just as confused as the rest of us?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm confused. I'm just kind of rather irritated. I mean, the market's highly valued, so you can only really look for special situations. But the market doesn't like special situations because it's surfing the liquidity and therefore it's just looking for safety and comfort. So if you get a situation that's a special situation like BG, British Gas, taken over by Shell, then you would buy that discount and be, you know, have a smile on your face. It's all going to come good. But in this market, it might take a very long time because nobody wants special situations, or what's driving the market doesn't want special situations. They want broad diversity to the general market. So that really puts the market in a sort of hiatus for me, and I sit on cash and cry.
Yeah.
And, you know, that should be the case at the top of the market, if it is the top of the market. But I think it's a top of the sensible market, and I think we're going to get a period of bubble. And therefore, again, you've got to go back to special situations and be ready to nip in and out. And that's not a happy place to be. But if you're going to play, that's, I think, going to be the only game in town.
Understood. OK, Clem Chambers, the founder of ADVF Men. Thank you very much indeed for taking time out, as you always do, for Tip TV. Bless you.
Thanks.
OK, let's take a very quick break and then we'll be straight back. Thank you.